And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
A reminder to come and visit the Lutheran Radio UK stand at the Christian Resources Exhibition at the Excel in London from May the 17th to the 20th. We have met so many people at previous exhibitions and will be delighted to meet you also. Please make a note in your diary. Along with the free gift of God's forgiveness, you might also get a freebie from Lutheran Radio UK too. On April the 6th in Trondheim, Norway, the Lutheran Church will hold its synod where it is expected to approve gay marriage. The Church of Norway's House of Bishops had approved the creation of rites for the blessing of same-sex marriages. On the 30th of October 2015, the Right Reverend Helga Haugland Bifuglen, President of the Bishops' Conference, said a United Bishops' meeting has approved the drawing up of liturgies for marrying same-sex couples. In 2008, the Norwegian government authorized same-sex marriages and asked the State Lutheran Church to prepare a liturgy for its use. However, the church has so far refused to act and has been sharply divided over the issue. In 2013, 8 of the church's 12 bishops said they would approve same-sex marriages in their diocese, but declined to act in deference to the views of the minority. Bishop Bifuglen said, "There are different perceptions of marriage among same-sex couples, both in the Norwegian church and among the bishops, but we are keen to find a decision that could have a unifying effect. The issue will now be presented to the Church's General Synod, which meets in April. It is expected to endorse the vote. If endorsed, a committee will be tasked with creating the liturgy, which will then be presented to the 2017 meeting of Synod for final approval." It is alleged that a travel agent who specialised in Christian-themed holidays defrauded customers who booked a Biblelands cruise out of £26,000, a court heard. Bob Fleming, 62, allegedly didn't use the booking fees he charged to secure berths on the Thompson Spirit, but ploughed the money into a Turkish hotel venture. He then encouraged his customers to fork out extra cash to extend the holiday to include a stay at the hotel he had leased and repaired, Kingston-upon-Thames Crown Court was told. Fleming, the boss of Living Sun Holidays of 31 Selwyn Road, has pleaded not guilty to two counts of fraudulent trading between January the 1st and November the 30th, 2014. He has also pleaded not guilty to two counts of engaging in misleading commercial practice and failing to provide evidence of a security between March the 1st and October the 31st, 2014. Prosecutor Mr. Richard Hallam told the jury, "Mr. Fleming was a travel agent and tour operator who for 30 years arranged holidays in the UK and abroad. His specialism was Christian holidays and he was the director of Carilius Limited and Living Sun Limited, which traded under the name Living Sun Holidays. There was improper use of customers' funds who had booked the cruise and he carried on the businesses for a fraudulent purpose." Fleming was investigated by trading standards from the Royal Borough of Kingston-upon-Thames after receiving a complaint on October 17, 2014. There was already an existing complaint from tour operator Thompson about Fleming using their name on his brochures. He advertised the 10-day Eastern Mediterranean cruise to his existing customers, which was due to begin in Turkey and conclude in Israel. It would visit such historical destinations as the site of the Colossus of Rhodes, Byblos, Lebanon, and the tour would also visit Jerusalem's Garden of Gethsemane. Trading standards traced 15 customers who paid £26,000 to Fleming. They thought they were securing a berth on a cruise ship. He should have paid for the cruise with that £26,000, but he didn't. It was channeled to his other business, a hotel he had leased in Turkey, and he asked his customers to stay in that hotel. He used the money to renovate that hotel. It is dishonest, but Mr. Fleming said he did not see it as fraudulent, added Mr. Hallam. Customers started asking for refunds when the cruise itinerary was changed because of trouble in the Gaza Strip. Refunds were chased, but there was to be no protection in place in the eyes of the law, and he had lied that flights were atoll covered. Mr. Fleming never paid or confirmed the bookings with Thompson. When questioned by trading standards, Fleming blamed the Gaza reroute for wrecking the cruise. "It all started to unravel," he explained. "Money just vanishes." The trial continues. Oscar-winning actor Morgan Freeman has said he is not interested in changing viewers' minds about religion with his new television series about faith and spirituality. Freeman, who has played God in two films, serves as the host and executive producer of The Story of God, a six-part documentary series in which he travels around the world to explore different religions. Arriving at the world premiere of the show at Jazz at Lincoln Center in New York City, he said, "It might open conversations, but I don't know about changing minds. I'm not really interested in changing someone's mind. If you're not religious, so be it." Laurie McCreary, Freeman's producing partner, added, "I think the thing it might do for people who aren't religious or don't have a certain faith is to open their minds to seeing religion in a different way than they might have experienced growing up, and for me that is exciting." Freeman, 78, immersed himself in religious experiences and rituals for the show, but said it does not offer up any conclusions. He added, "We pose the questions, we don't have to answer them. If we had to answer them, we would have stopped. If we are going out to meet people who really are knowledgeable and involved in these great different faiths and religions, then it's a matter of engaging and listening." He did admit that the story of Zoroastrianism was particularly significant for him, though saying, "It is one of the ancient philosophies. It is based on three basic tenets: good thoughts, good words, good deeds. That covers pretty much all of us." The Story of God begins on the National Geographic Channel in the UK on April the 3rd at 8 p.m. Israel has spirited 19 Jews out of war-torn Yemen in a covert operation to rescue some of the last remnants of one of the world's most ancient Jewish communities, officials said on Monday. The operation, transporting them to Israel, almost brings to an end the presence of the Jewish community in Yemen, which once numbered around 60,000 people and dates back some 2,000 years. Only 50 or so Jews now remain and have chosen to stay in the war-ravaged Arabian Peninsula country, according to the Jewish agency responsible for immigration to Israel. Most of them, around 40, live in a protected compound adjacent to the US Embassy in Sana'a. 19 individuals arrived in Israel in recent days, including 14 from the town of Raida and a family of five from Sana'a, the agency said in a statement. The group from Raida included the community's rabbi, who bought a Torah scroll believed to be between 500 and 600 years old. Rabbi Salman Dari, red-eyed and looking exhausted after his travels, told reporters the scroll had been passed down in his family. "I got it from my father, who was also a rabbi, who inherited it from my grandfather, another rabbi," he said in the desert city of Beersheba in southern Israel, where the group will stay initially. The Yemeni capital and the town of Raida to its north are both controlled by Iran-backed Houthi rebels, who are battling loyalists of the internationally recognized government and its supporters in a Saudi-led coalition. The agency declined to provide details of the operation, but a spokesman said it took several months to prepare. 17 of those brought to Israel arrived on Sunday night. The other two arrived over the preceding days. They were taken to an immigration set in Beersheba. "We are really tired. We crossed three countries," Dahari said, before being interrupted by an agency official telling him not to elaborate on the details of the journey. "If you only knew," Jewish agency spokesman Yigi Palmer told AFP. "Maybe one day we'll make a movie out of it. We are talking about a secret operation in a hostile environment. It is not easy to transport people who are visibly and recognizably Jews. Being a Jew in Yemen right now is extremely dangerous," Palmer said. "The Houthi militants, for example, are openly anti-Semitic." Esther, 11, told of her life in Sana'a. "We were afraid of the tribe," she said. "They used to throw things at us and hit us. Here is nicer than Yemen." On Monday evening, the group was taken to Jerusalem to meet Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and pose for pictures with the unrolled, yellowed Torah scroll. "It's moving that you know how to read the Torah," a statement from Netanyahu's office quoted him as saying, telling them in Hebrew, "That is the foundation." The Jewish agency also arranged for the remains to be brought to Israel of Aharon Zidani, a Jewish man stabbed to death in Sana'a in 2012 by a Muslim who accused him of witchcraft. Zindani's son and his family arrived in Israel from Sana'a in the latest operation. Yemen has been gripped by violence since September 2014, when the Houthis, who had long complained of marginalization, stormed Sana'a and forced the government to flee south. The Saudi-led coalition began bombing Houthi positions across Yemen in March last year, but the insurgents still control swathes of the country, including the capital. Al-Qaeda, an Islamic State group jihadists, have gained ground in southern Yemen since the coalition launched its air campaign. The Jewish agency said that more than 51,000 Yemenite Jews have immigrated to Israel since the country was founded in 1948. Nearly 50,000 were brought over in 1949 and 1950 in a secret airlift known as Operation Magic Carpet. The Jewish community in Yemen continued to dwindle in subsequent decades, and by the early 1990s it numbered only 1,000 people. The lifting of a long-standing travel ban in 1993 sparked a fresh exodus. The number of Americans who pray or believe in God has reached an all-time low, yet more believe in the afterlife, according to new research. A team of scientists from Florida Atlantic University looked at nearly 6,000 adults across the United States between 1972 and 2014. They found that five times as many Americans in 2014 reported that they never prayed as did Americans in the early 1980s, and nearly twice as many said they did not believe in God at all. Americans in recent years were less likely to engage in a wide variety of religious practices, including attending religious services, describing themselves as religious, and believing the Bible is divinely inspired, with the biggest decline seen among 18 to 29-year-old groups. The results were published on Monday in the journal Sage Open. San Diego State University psychology professor Gene Twenge said, "Most previous studies concluded that fewer Americans were publicly affiliating with a religion, but that Americans were just as religious in private ways. That's no longer the case, especially in the last few years. The large declines in religious practice among young adults are also further evidence that millennials are the least religious generation in memory and possibly in American history. This decline in religious practice has not been accompanied by a rise in spirituality, which, according to Twenge, suggests that rather than spirituality replacing religion, Americans are becoming more secular. The one exception to the decline in religious beliefs was a slight increase in belief in the afterlife." Twenge said, "It is interesting that fewer people participated in religion or prayed, but more believed in an afterlife. It might be part of a growing entitlement mentality, thinking you can get something for nothing." And finally, Britain's new polar research ship could end up being called Boaty McBoatface, with the joke name leading the public vote by several nautical miles on Monday. Former BBC radio presenter James Hand, who came up with the name, said 90% of the thousands of entries were daft, so he thought he'd throw in one of his own. He suggested the name to the Natural Environment Research Council, the NERC, on Thursday, since when the Royal Research Ship Boaty McBoatface's name had sailed way ahead of the competition. Before the boating site crashed under the weight of people trying to have their say, Hand's suggestion was leading with 28,590 votes, far ahead of its closest competitor, which had just over 3,000 votes. Some of the more unusual suggestions include the Onion Knight, Pingu, Usain Boat, I Like Big Boats and I Cannot Lie, and Kanye West. The £200 million state-of-the-art polar research ship, which will be 128 metres long and weigh 15,000 tonnes, is set to sail in 2019. Operating in one of the world's most challenging global environments, our polar regions, we're looking for an inspirational name that exemplifies the work it will do, the NERC said when it launched the naming competition. The final decision on the new name will be taken by the NERC. Alison Robinson, the NERC's Director of Corporate Affairs, claimed the council was delighted by the public's enthusiasm and pleased that people are embracing the idea in a spirit of fun. "We are very much enjoying hearing everyone's ideas," she insisted. Alan West, a former head of Britain's Navy, said, "It's a typical thing of the Brits going mad. This is a key bit of research. We are probably leading the world, and we should all be very proud of it," he told BBC Radio. "I'm rather proud that we have silly names going around, but I hope we don't select one." Hand said that he apologised profusely and actually voted for David Attenborough after the veteran television naturalist. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.